Thank you, Harry. Okay. I tell you what, the Sunday after Christmas, I always look forward to that Sunday because the week of Christmas is so busy. And the service for Sunday is so busy. And I love, by the way, Christmas service. But there's so many things happening that you kind of look forward to the downtime, don't you? That you really are stimulated by all the things that are going on. But when it's over, it's like, okay, let me take a breather. And I hope that as we go into the new year, we are thinking about things like that. We're going to evaluate, today's sermon is about evaluating, looking back, looking forward. But one of the things we're talking about here is rhythms in life. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, and a very wise man Solomon said that, so we can probably know that that is true. And now is a nice time in the middle of our, between Christmas and New Year's, just to kind of have a little bit of downtime. And then from tomorrow, we're going to start rushing again, right, to get ready for New Year, especially in Hawaii. I do want to say, before we begin, we shared a little bit in our, a couple of weeks ago, we gave away these little gift bags to people who couldn't repay you. Remember we had this, if you weren't here, we had these at the back of the church, a water bottle and a little energy bar, put in a little gift bag, and our homework was to take that and to give it to somebody, like a homeless person or somebody that you wanted to give it to. It doesn't have to be a homeless person, but just somebody you wanted to offer it to. The only thing you're not supposed to do is take it outside and say, oh, I'm really thirsty, and open it up and drink it. Okay, it's not for you. It's to give away to somebody else, okay? So I had 120, figuring that that would be enough for everybody. Turns out that was enough because about 24 of them went. That means we still have about 100 left. So I want to redo this homework and to say, when you leave today, this time we put them all out. We had it hidden underneath that thing, and as we needed more, we'd bring it out. But this time I just put it all out there so that as you're leaving, you won't forget. Okay, so take one of these, and the Sunday school people actually shared a little bit about how they gave this away or how it's sitting in their car waiting to be given away. Mine was like that as well. In fact, mine was like that as well. And my granddaughter said, Papa, this is just sitting here. Can I drink it? I said, no, that's for a homeless person. She opens it up and drinks it anyway. So, okay, so anyway, I have more where that came from, fortunately. But what we're looking at today is how do we look back at 2019 and how do we look forward? The title of our message today is 2020 Vision. And we have 2020 vision in a couple of ways, right? We have 2020 hindsight. That is, when we look back, we can see things more clearly than when we look forward. When we're looking forward, we talk about people who have vision, people who are visionaries, have ideas about things that about what's going to happen. But that's never 2020. You might have 2020 vision for a little bit of time, but beyond that, it gets more and more blurry. As Yoda, I heard the great sage Yoda say one time, future cloudy. You guys get that? No. Okay, let's move on. Now you're going to start laughing at me instead of with me. Okay. Anyway, with that in mind, our scripture today is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. And if you take out your notes, you'll find it in there. It's right there in the top of your notes. And as you find that, why don't we go ahead and read that together? Okay, ready, go. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Now, in the Bible, you don't have all these italics and bold and everything. All those are added by me because I'd like to kind of break this down and kind of know where we're going to go from here. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, open our eyes as we desire to see things as they are. Lord, you said to walk in the light as you are in the light. And so help us to see things, to be honest about things, to desire to not hide, not be in denial, but to realign our lives, to be in a place where we're willing to grow and to have you adjust our lives to your very character, O God. So God, dwell with us today. Help your may your Holy Spirit help us to understand what you want to do in our lives and are continuing to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, in this section here, is talking about how we interact in the church. He talked about some character traits at the beginning of chapter 4. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. He talks about unity. He talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers and their role in building up the body. And then he talks about the process of maturity. He says you're going to become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Think about that, that God's goal for you is the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Not 70%, not 92%, but the whole measure, 100%. God wants you to be like Christ. And of course, we can't do that ourselves, but he does call us to do a number of things. But he says when we are attaining to that full measure of Christ, he says we will no longer be infants blown to and fro. A lot of times our circumstances blow us to and fro. Now we just run after whatever circumstances happens to be going on at the time. What's the brightest object as a person with ADD? I understand that kind of thing. I'm in the middle of studying something and something else happens. Oh, I better run after that. Next thing I know, I was just thinking about this yesterday. I can go working on a project in the house, go from one end of the house, walk 20 feet and think, oh, I got to do this over here. And I could be distracted by that. I can walk another 20 feet, be distracted by something else. And if I were to chase all those things, I would not get to do the project that I was working at. And yesterday, I actually thought about this. I thought about how easy it is for us to chase the shiniest object at the time. But Paul is saying here that God doesn't want us to be blown by every wind of teaching or cunning and craftiness from deceitful schemers. Some people actually want to take you off course. They intentionally want to take you off course. And then he says this, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And he talks about the process of being connected together and how the body grows together. So instead of bouncing around from various different kind of thought process and distracting things in the world, instead of that, speak the truth in love. In other words, we need to be able to articulate something. And when we articulate something, we want to be able to tell the truth about that. You know, it's really easy to hide, isn't it? Especially as we're evaluating. Maybe as a believer, we think, oh, we shouldn't be this way. We shouldn't be this way. And it might be true. Maybe we shouldn't be that way. But we are. And so because we shouldn't be that way, we say, I just will close my eyes to my actual being that way. I'm not impatient because I shouldn't be that way. And so, but really, we are impatient. Why not rather just say, I'm being impatient. Speak the truth in love. What if we were to tell this to somebody else? How do we say this? How do we communicate this to somebody else? And as we do that with one another, ourselves and one another, the Apostle Paul says, we will in all things, can you say all things? All things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Now, not in some things, not in just the things you do right. Oh, if you do something right, then you're going to grow up into him who is the head. What if you did something wrong? You know what the Apostle Paul is saying? Even if you did something wrong, even if you blew it, God, if we're speaking the truth about that, God's going to grow us up into him who is the head. Oh, I saw this attractive woman. I lusted after her. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Speak the truth about that. Oh, I saw this person. I saw this person cut me off on the road. Ah, so mad about. No, I'm not mad about them. No, you are mad about them. Okay, I'm mad, God. Okay, speak the truth. Just be honest about that and say, Lord, forgive me. Then God can work in your life. Okay, so we will in all things, when we're speaking the truth in love, we will in all things, good, bad, and ugly, grow up into him who is the Christ, who is the head, that is Christ. That's an astounding thought, that God wants us to grow us into Christ-likeness. And that's the whole process of this, isn't it? The good, bad, and the ugly. When we pause to evaluate between Christmas and New Year, we have the good, bad, and the ugly. The ESPN has this thing called the top 10 plays for the week. And they show all these spectacular plays. Sometimes they show this guy shooting a basketball from half court. Sometimes a high schooler shooting a ball from half court. Boom, it goes right in the bucket. Sometimes you see this a high school guy catching, jumping up one hand, catch a football, and land inbounds. It's just amazing kind of things. They show these kind of things. But they also have something called the not top 10. Can you say it with me? The not top 10. Okay, let's take a look at some of these not top 10s. Athlete dread being on the top 10.
Broke the clock that time. Gordon takes it away.
The great LeBron James. Their team is behind. And he's going to be strategic.
That brings the crowd to its feet.
Sloppy
play. And entices this one with
the great LeBron James.
Seconds to play.
James rolled it out of
bounds. James going to the rim, kicks to the corner. Green, a three to tie. He got it. We have overtime.
Okay, high five, everybody. You guys catch that?
Back at home, Sunday against Houston. Oh, my. Reddish showing off that outlandish athletic ability. Throwing it down. That is something.
Okay, what?
And Kemba Walker from Travel here.
Is this football? Would you be running with the ball like that?
Just his second field goal. He was 1-for-11.
James. Got it out to Caldwell Pope. Caruso! Oh, you didn't know he had that in his bag, did you?
Misses.
What happened?
They get on the basket.
Carmelo gets by Satterinsky and finishes Trump with a two-hand jam.
Keep in mind, these are professional basketball players.
Crank it back the time machine, baby.
3 seconds. Cut off inside. Come on, right.
3 second violation.
And he just put on the blender, man. And he didn't even have to push mix.
Yeah.
He just spun ball gear around everywhere.
Hey, Michael, come on back.
You're across the Bible. Twice goes to the basket, lays it high off the window, and scores a pretty move by Darius Garland. Watch out!
Drew Holiday!
Watch out!
Left hand, and he's going to the line of the foul.
There's a bird or moth or something flying around in the arena.
Towns
against Gobert. Put the shoulder down. Rolls inside, trying to slam it home, and Rudy said,
not tonight, he scores. Third team on the floor tonight. Eric Bledsoe, a premier driver, finds another one. Dunk the great and one. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh,
couldn't wake up.
That was a scripted play.
Pacers have a lot of guys who can score. He got knocked to the floor as now Fultz goes inside and Bartlett scores.
Leads Davis, drops it off, and LeBron again climbs the ladder.
And Bede thinking about a three.
Why did I play that clip for you? I played it to encourage you, because it's likely that your blunder is not going to be showing up on ESPN's Not Top 10 for millions of people to see. Isn't that good news? Okay, some of this is just between you and God. Okay, God, good. Let me just you and me. Let's work this out together, all right? But when we do look behind, when we look back, it's good to keep that kind of thing in mind. What happened when that happened? And how do we, what do we need to do to get better in that kind of situation? So we need to evaluate. When we evaluate, when we're looking at hindsight being 20/20, we're thinking about asking some probing questions. Ask some probing questions in your life. What went well? What went badly? So I'll just share a few things from the overall church perspective here, things that I've always thought about and our church has been concerned about, our elders have thought about. We've had our permanent elders have been in place for almost a year, not quite a year. January of last year, we had installed our permanent elders. We had a Sunday morning prayer meeting that ended in April. That's been running for a couple of years. What happened to that? We have a mission statement seed to share the gospel, to encourage and to empower people, to encourage people and to disciple people. And then we had a number of issues behind the scenes resolving some conflicts that were going on. I also had to work at my preaching. I changed my preaching style. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but I've changed my preaching style a number of times as I go through as I preach and as I learn and as I grow. I changed a number of things in how I do planning. One of the things that I started using years ago was an electronic planner. Use the Google Calendar and everything's in the Google Calendar. I have finally come to my realization that Google Calendar is great for routine things. It is not good for planning. And because it's not good for planning, and I need all the help I can get, I went back to an old-fashioned calendar to help me plan. But all of that happens because I look back and kind of seeing, you know, does this work? Is it really working, or do we need to adjust some things here? And I want you to know that our elders are constantly reviewing and evaluating and adjusting and praying and trusting God for what's next. But of first importance for us is to identify what God is doing in you. Secondly, what God is doing through you. But I first want to talk about what God is doing in you. And the reason for that is that almost all of what Jesus taught has to do with what is God doing in you. Your response to his commands. Your response to his bringing the kingdom here. The purpose of evaluation is not just to pile up a bunch of negative things. The purpose of evaluation is to ask, what can we get better in? How can we improve in something? And so what we want to do, why I say we want to focus first on what is God doing in you, is because that's something you can control. At least you have the most control of that. So things outside of you, you don't have much control. A lot of times we concern ourselves in what God's doing in somebody else. But we don't have that much control in what happens in somebody else. And why don't we worry about what God is doing in our lives first? Jesus taught us we have to judge ourselves and knowing what's inside of us. And then when we do that, when we work on the inside, the external will follow. Matthew 23:26, Jesus talks about cleaning the inside of the cup and the dish. And then the outside is going to be clean. Luke 6:45, Jesus says that from the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. So these are the kinds of things that Jesus emphasized. In his book, Inside Out, Dr. Larry Crabb, emphasized how critical it is to live a life from the inside out. He said, what is a maturing Christian like on the inside? What will he feel? Will he have a consistent desire to do what is right? Or will he fight a raging battle within, between urges to do wrong and commitments to do right? Is what's happening inside of your life just consistent? I want to do right, I want to do right, I want to do right. Or, truth be told, do you fight a raging battle between your flesh and that new creation in you? Chances are it's the latter, that there is a battle that goes on inside of you. And it's important for us to just recognize that. Take a look at the diagram on the back of your handout. From the time we know Jesus Christ, come to know Jesus Christ, that's the beginning of that timeline there. We're saved by grace through faith. And then at the end of the timeline, the Apostle Paul says that his desire is to present everyone perfect and complete in Christ. And we know on that day God will eradicate sin from our lives, but we are in this middle part where we're diminishing sin and we're increasing godliness or Christ-likeness in our lives. In the beginning stage here, we see on the left, the beginning stage, we start off as a new creation. We are spiritual babes. We begin to love the Word. We feed on the Word. We crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God, and we learn to pray. And it's life-giving. The fellowship we engage in now is no longer the junk kind of fellowship we engage in, and the complaining about your boss and complaining about this person who did you wrong, and everybody's just negative talking about one another. And we have good, healthy, life-giving fellowship. We learn to put away selfishness and grow in humility and obedience and sharing Jesus because our lives are changed. One of the main things that people say when they come to know Jesus Christ is that they experience a tremendous peace, a peace that they never knew. But we also know that there's this other part in our lives, this sin part, and that's self-focused, and it's lies and deception, and there's greed. You want what that person has, and sometimes we might want to steal something. We not only steal material things, but we steal time from our employers. We steal devotion. We steal that person's reputation because we badmouth them. We're critical. We're gossip. We have a caustic tongue. We have malice inside of us. We have ill intent. We actually want to do harm to that person. We're judgmental. We have hatred and prejudice in our lives. And sometimes, truth be told, why we don't do stuff, we're just plain lazy. We're just plain lazy. There's lust and immoral thoughts and covetousness and revenge. Oh, revenge and grudges. Boy, that is really a horrible thing. And that's the beginning of our walk with Christ. And so we have these two things going on. God comes into our life, a life full of sewage of the worldly life. God comes in, gives us brand new life in Christ simply through faith in Jesus Christ. Certainly not because of anything we've done. We have not done anything for God, yet God comes down and saves us. And because he saved us, God puts his own spirit in us, the Father and Jesus comes to live in us, and now they begin to grow and mature. And when we get to the end, this is what maturity looks like. Christ-likeness, godly speech and conduct, Christ-focused, instead of being focused on somebody else or are they going to do it? If they do it, I'll do it. If they don't do it, I won't do it. Do it because Jesus said. Seeking God's mind through the word and prayer. How about this? Obedience. Obedience. A lot of us have a lot of knowledge in our head, but are we obeying what God wants? Compassion, love, of course, faithfulness and generosity, and praying for your persecutors. When's the last time, instead of building your defense argument against your persecutor, you prayed for them and you blessed them? Rising above the petty things, teaching. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, it says, by now you ought to be teachers. Are you teaching? The mature person is teaching somebody else. Holding on to deep truths. Experiencing inexpressible joy. So these are the things that a mature believer experiences. Larry Crabb said, the message of Christianity is that a relationship with Christ is available that can reach into every part of your life and can move you toward becoming that person he saved you to be. God can move you toward being the person he saved you to be. Real change is possible. That's wonderful. Now you look at this diagram and it all makes sense, except that we're stuck in the middle. Now you take a look at this scripture above that timeline, Hebrews 10:4. I would recommend you memorize this scripture. It's a very simple, short scripture, but it says this. In fact, why don't we read it together? Ready? The one that says, by one sacrifice. Ready? Go. By one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The sacrifice of Jesus, made perfect forever in the eyes of God, he has perfected you, and yet we are being made holy. We're not arrived yet. So there's this sense that God has placed you positionally as perfect in him simply because of Jesus Christ being in your life. And yet, as we're living out this life, God's continuing to work on us. And you and I both know we both have stuff to work on. We all have stuff to work on, don't we? God's still working on us. If you want a good verse on sanctification and glorification and salvation, sanctification and glorification, Hebrews 10:14 is it. Say it with me. Salvation, sanctification, and glorification. Hebrews 10:14. Okay, there you go. So we're stuck in the middle between this beginning stage and a mature stage, and we're in the process, if you will, of refinement. And God is trying to refine our character, our faith. He's trying to lead us to be more people of obedience rather than independent, disobedient people. He wants to instill in us perseverance, a sense of sticking to it, rather than continuing to jump around to things that are convenient. Humbleness, submission to authority, integrity, forgiveness. Forgiveness is a big one. Reproof. How do you take reproof? How do you take it when somebody has to correct you or rebuke you? That's one of the most scary things when you have to do that. You don't know how this person is going to take it. How about you? It's easy to talk about it, but how do you actually receive it? How do you experience unjust suffering in the Lord? The world's culture versus biblical culture. This is a big one. We all talk about biblical culture, but when it really comes down to it, most of us are operating out of our own historic culture, our backgrounds. And we talk about that a lot, right? Larry Crabb said this, he intends to change us into people who can more deeply enjoy him now and represent him well to others. The surgery required to make that change is always painful. But God will settle for nothing less than deep change in our character. radical transformation and restructuring of how we approach life. I don't know about you, but the part that stood out for me was the surgery part. Ouch. This past year has been a difficult one. Facing a number of different things, not perfectly. And then God coming up to me and saying, Stan, these are the weaknesses in you. This is what I want you to grow in. And I heard the Lord and said, okay, Lord, help me to grow in that. I admit that I am weak in that. I've shied away from a number of things that my leadership position requires of me. And so I needed to grow, and I need to grow in these things. There are no shortcuts to maturity. You must accept and go through God's growth processes and learn and change. These are called trials. They're painful. They're hurt. Sometimes a trial is doubt. Sometimes it's experiencing losses or experiencing attacks, injustices. And they're not easy, misunderstandings. But the potter can make changes. If you are in his hands and if you are moldable. In his book, The Explicit Gospel, Matt Chandler writes, the marker of those who understand the gospel of Jesus Christ is that when they stumble and fall, not if they stumble and fall, but when they stumble and fall, when they screw up, when they run to God and not from him, because they clearly understand that their acceptance before God is not predicated upon their behavior, but on the righteous life of Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death. So this is the beginning, the end, and the middle. And we're in the middle right now. As we evaluate, keep in mind the goal. And the goal God has for you is not to be overwhelmed by failure, but use any kind of failure you see as an opportunity to grow. Remember that saying, be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. I like that. I like that saying. The potter can make changes in your life. So I would suggest these things as we wrap up our time here. Reflect on 2020. Evaluate the past. In the future, we have a number of things coming up, so let me just kind of talk about that right now before the time of reflection. In 2020, what we have on the front burner, the elders have been talking about, is an acrostic called FAITH, F-A-I-T-H. Faithful, available, initiative, teachable, and heart. Those are the things we're going to start off the new year with, and we'd like to instill this motto, if you will, into all of the people here at West Oahu. We also have something called a social covenant that we'll be putting out. And the social covenant tells us how we should be relating to each other. So this will start in 2020. We want to set a foundation for our church. We're also going to be taking a look at how to minister to young and middle adults. We've been thinking and praying about this for some time, as this is an area that's just missing in our church. But we want to be able to minister to them. We need God's guidance on how to do that. As well as a building. We're talking about a building. That building over there is not strong. And so we need something else that's going to be help us with some of the programs that we want to do. So before we do that, I'd like to, before we wrap up today, I'd like us to reflect a bit. The question is, what will you look like if you're Christ-like, when you are Christ-like? What will your speech and actions and conduct be like? What will the fruit of your life be like? What will the people around you be like because they were with you? Set some goals What small thing needs to change? Small thing. I emphasize small. Say small with me. Small. Small things to take one step closer to Christ-likeness. And I have a few blanks in there. Long-term goal, by the way, the long-term goal and short-term goal is there. It's very short because that's all I want you to write in there. Just write a little bit. You know what? If change was easy, you would have changed already. Right? But it's not. So let's just accept that it's not easy. So let's just do things little by little. Lao Tzu, a Chinese philosopher, said this very well-known quote, "The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step." The only step you can take is that one step. Just worry about that one step. As you're thinking about what kind of goal you're going to have, I suggest you take that paper that I gave you, that diagram, circle the things that are causing you trouble. By the way, the band can come up. Circle the things that you feel the Holy Spirit wants you to work on. But don't circle a lot of them, okay? Just work on like one or two. If you circle a lot of them, you're going to stop before you even start. Just work on something. And if you're still alive next year, work on another thing. And if you're not alive next year, then you've already reached the end of your timeline. You can say, hallelujah, I'm here. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we know, Lord, that as you guide us through the years, you want us to learn and to grow with every trial we experience. Most times, Lord, our trials are not welcome, and as we know we should say, we want to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds, because the testing of our faith develops perseverance. We want to say that. But oftentimes we don't consider it pure joy. For most of us, it's something we want to escape from. And yet when we see the lives and the words and the instruction of your apostles, Lord, those who have weathered the storms, those who say, consider it pure joy, they know, Lord, you are at work. And you truly are at work. Help us to see that you are working in our lives so that we can look behind, be honest about what's behind, tell the truth about it, and we can look forward, Lord, to making those changes you want us to have. And as we do that, Lord, we will have that 2020 vision and grow and learn from that 2020 vision you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.